I want to talk a little bit about the issue of chemotherapy, adjuvant chemotherapy, both in patients with HER2-negative and HER2-positive tumors. The nurses in the infusion room see these patients getting treated, but a lot of times they might not be aware of all the kind of research that leads into the choice and the dilemmas that we face. And of course, that's particularly heightened in the patient who's at relatively lower risk with a node-negative tumor. Let's talk a little bit about the issue of HER2-negative situation first. And of course, one of the most common sort of subsets that we deal with is a patient who has a node-negative, ER-positive, and HER2-negative tumor. Can you talk about how those three variables, when they come together like that, sort of affects the way you approach the issue about adjuvant chemotherapy?
Well, historically, anatomy was king. And so a patient whose tumors involved lymph nodes gave a clue that that tumor was more likely or more able to spread distantly, and conversely, a node-negative tumor was less likely to spread distantly. The second anatomic concern was tumor size, and it's the same idea. Bigger tumors more likely to spread, and smaller tumors less likely to spread. Biology has become more and more important, and HER2 is now a clear distinguishing feature because not only does it indicate tumors more or less likely to spread, but it also identifies tumors that are likely to respond or not to a targeted therapy, trastuzumab. And similarly, ER status and combined with progesterone receptor status plays the same kind of a role. So the example at hand is a particularly low risk and difficult situation in terms of thinking, because the tumor is ostensibly low risk, small and node negative. Therefore, the risk of recurrence is at the outset relatively low. Therefore, the benefits of things like chemotherapy are relatively modest. They can't be large. And the risks of chemotherapy loom relatively larger because they're constant independent of the risk of the cancer. And so the way you approach this is you say, well, firstly, what's the least toxic, most effective intervention I have at my disposal? And the answer is an anti-hormone therapy. And then you ask, with what residual risk still is present, what's the marginal benefit of tackling on chemotherapy? And there we get into, you know, really difficult decision making.
Can you talk a little bit about the Oncotype DX assay and how that can be helpful in this situation?
The Oncotype DX is in certain ways like a very sophisticated pathology exam. What it looks at is 16 specific genes that were selected because they were likely to predict outcome in early stage breast cancer. And what we look at is the way those genes have been turned on in comparison to five reference genes, that is, five genes that typically don't vary a whole lot. And in certain profiles, when those genes are turned on a certain way, the risk of the breast cancer coming back appears to be higher. And in other situations where those genes are not turned on so much, the risk of the cancer coming back is lower. That alone is only part of the story. The second part of the story is that when those genes are activated and the risk is higher, we have some evidence that those are specifically the cancers that respond to chemotherapy. So ideally, this test could be used to identify in a group of people who look at first blush like they have low-risk breast cancer, those who really actually have higher risk and do benefit from chemotherapy potentially, and conversely, those who really do have the low risk you think they have and can avoid chemo.
And it looks like this assay really has become a part of practice in a big way. We saw that literally all the investigators have used it, and about 3/4 of the oncs in practice are using it. What are the specific kinds of situations that this is most helpful?
Well, I think there are a couple of situations where it's most helpful. The first would be the patient who normally might not get chemotherapy in your practice. So in some practices, that would be a sub-centimeter cancer. In others, that would be a sub-2-centimeter cancer. If it's ER positive and HER2 normal especially, and of course, node negative, and hormone therapy is already a consideration for that patient, a high recurrence score can convince an otherwise reluctant doc or patient to go ahead and get treatment. Conversely, I think that there are patients with sort of borderline tumors, just over a centimeter, where by historical standards we would be considering chemotherapy, and a low Oncotype score can reassure the patient and the doctor that chemotherapy really may be of limited or no value in such a setting.